Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Just a note on Miami, Kyle Lowry didn't play this series. Just throwing it out there.
Yeah.
At all.
Yeah. No, I get it. Look, James Harden was a non-factor in the game. He just didn't show up. Basically hasn't shown up since he got to Philly. They're still waiting for him to show up. What is? And then you hear Jimmy Butler and what he, and all it makes me think, Jay, is they should have never let Jimmy Butler go, right? I think a lot of people are thinking that right now. But the next layer of it, when people are playing the blame game, okay, James Harden, get in shape, be better. But what about Doc Rivers? Doc Rivers has a, you know, top 15 coach of all time, but has a long history now of teams with a lot of talent that he coaches collapsing in the playoffs. He's asked the post-game presser about his job security.
I don't worry about my job, Howard. I think I do a terrific job, and if you don't, then you should write it. Because I worked my butt off to get this team here. When I first got here, no one picked us to be anywhere. And again this year, the same thing. So if that's how anyone feels, write it, and I'm going to feel secure about it.
Key, something don't smell right here, man.
I say write it.
Jay Wright trending last night on Twitter during the game. People trying to post pictures of Doc Rivers' clipboard that looks clean as hell, by the way. Like, there ain't no rub marks on it at all. Looks like it's brand new.
Clear, man. It's the clear.
No, it could be clear, but at least you see some eraser marks on it. You know what I mean? Something, some smeared, you know, marker marks on it. I'm just saying it don't feel right. It feels like there's being a setup here for Doc to no longer be the coach. Now, look, I know there are troubles. Like, I was on the phone with our own Alan Yates last night watching the game. We're both yelling at the TV because all of a sudden Miami's in this this new secret government 2-3 zone that's never been seen before in the NBA. And nobody can figure out how to beat a zone. Nobody. I'm like, what is going on? So I'm not saying that there aren't questions around it, but it does feel like Doc defends himself like, if y'all don't appreciate me, I get the hell out of here. If I'm Doc, I don't want to be here, y'all. Key, if I'm Doc, I don't want to be in Philly. Do you want to sign James Harden back? Is this a move that I actually approved? Is this something I saw the future of our franchise being handed to James Harden? Like, do you want to bring in Daryl Morey? Do you guys not value what I bring here? If you don't, then I think Doc should leave. Get to L.A. as soon as possible, Key. I'm out if I'm Doc.
You mean Mike D'Antoni is what you meant. Daryl Morey's already there.
Yeah, Daryl Morey, I'm saying Mike D'Antoni. If they want to bring in Mike D'Antoni, then bring him in. Yes, that's what I meant. I kind of look at Mike D'Antoni and Daryl Morey as one person, by the way. They're attached.
Look, Doc immediately came under scrutiny once they acquired James Harden, right? It became a conversation on whether or not.
Well, he became under scrutiny last year when they.
No, I know that, but I mean this
D'Antoni
year.
D'Antoni watch.
Once the D'Antoni watch came because of the Harden trade, it became a D'Antoni watch. Now it's like, if Doc doesn't do this, then he could be fired and do that. And Mike D'Antoni's just sitting around and waiting. It became one of those sort of deals because people are trying to connect the dots with Daryl Morey, James Harden, and Mike D'Antoni. But here's what I would say to you as a basketball expert. It doesn't matter who the hell the coach is if James Harden isn't good like that anymore. Mike D'Antoni, all of a sudden Mike D'Antoni's going to give James Harden a new hamstring? Like, what is it? No, I'm serious, though. Because you tell me his blow-by ain't the same because he's out of shape, he's this, he's that. All of a sudden, he's going to start to be a different player body-wise. All of a sudden, the miles that's on his body are going to disappear.
Wow, you know what's so interesting?
You get a new head coach.
You guys see this most career playoff points to never win a championship?
Yeah.
And James Harden is way, way up there. Only Karl Malone and Elgin Baylor, who was on the team that won the title but retired earlier in the season. Yeah.
Brother Key, listen to this theory. It just popped in my brain. So we talk a lot about here in New York, right, Kevin Durant, it being Kevin Durant's team. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But at times, like, does Kevin Durant be aggressive and demonstrative as it relates to Kyrie Irving? But his passiveness almost allows Kyrie Irving to make it seem as if it's Kyrie's team to a degree, right? Mm-hmm. Are we kind of seeing something similar happen in Philadelphia? We know it's Joel Embiid's team, mm-hmm. right? But when I hear James Harden at the post press conference saying, "Well, you know, I gotta get the ball back. I'm just running the offense." It feels like that's a dig at Doc Rivers, and it makes me wonder. Daryl Morey obviously is attached to James Harden. Like, will Joel Embiid give the okay for Doc Rivers not to be the head coach? Like, will they? Because James Harden is already alluding to that. Like, doesn't it feel like that, Key? When James, it feels like that was James Harden taking a shot at Doc. You're hearing all this Mike D'Antoni talk. You know that Mike D'Antoni is attached to James Harden, but is that what Joel Embiid wants?
And but if you for the last, I would say, about the last four press conferences, maybe five press conferences in defeat, it seems like both of them, both Harden and Joel, is kind of poking at Doc in a roundabout way, just leaving breadcrumbs. And as athletes, you know, we can sniff that stuff out, Jay, in a heartbeat on who people talking about. And Doc Rivers may have a landing spot somewhere else, so he really is feeling it too and really not caring. But if I'm Mike D'Antoni, do I want the job looking at the James Harden this time around versus the one that I had in Houston, or even the one that I had as an assistant coach in Brooklyn? Is that something that I want to do? I know it's a job, but do I want
to
do that?
There's a bigger issue to me that Jay just hit on, guys. Joel Embiid, his entire career with the Sixers, you know, he was taken third because he was hurt coming out of college, but he was a generational talent, right? He picked up a basketball and, like, a day later was the best player in college basketball when he was healthy, basically, right?
Dude, we had Bill Self on our show. He said he only been playing basketball for 2 years.
He's a phenom. And then he enters the league, and, you know, Shaq is talking about how much do you really want it? You have to dominate every night. And he does all the things, all the criticisms, you know, Embiid responds to. At no step of the way have they ever really respected Embiid as it's being his team. They took his guy, Jimmy Butler, and they shipped him off. Embiid wanted Butler. They shipped him off. That's choosing Ben Simmons, right? Now James Harden's there. If they wind up bringing in Mike D'Antoni and extending James Harden, they are once again, because your point, Jay, is, are we sure that Embiid is signing off on getting rid of Doc Rivers or whatever? To me, it doesn't seem like they care very much in Philadelphia about what Embiid wants.
I just feel like Joel Embiid is frustrated at voicing his opinion because he's been doing it, and it doesn't feel like it's falling upon deaf ears. So my thing is, what do you do to make Joel Embiid happy? But then at the same time, Key, what do you do with James Harden? Because, look, I don't think James Harden can get enough leverage on the market to get that deal anywhere else. I think he's going to opt in. I think he's going to get his $47 million. Yeah. If I am the Philadelphia 76ers, I do not give him the bag, man. I do not do it.
He's going to get his money.
That's an indictment on Joel Embiid. If they give him the money, then you're saying Joel Embiid, the next 4 to 5 years until this man is 37 years old, that's going to be your partner.
Yeah, they don't seem to care very much about
that.
That's
a slap in the face of Joel Embiid.
He's going to get his money for a number of reasons and factors, though, Jay. You know that. It's first of all, forget about the opting in at $47 million. Let's focus in on the trade. Everything that you gave up, whether you believe it was a haul or not, you gave up a lot to get him. You're not just going to walk away. On top of that, when there's personal relationships and feelings involved in the organization, it's hard to say no to somebody that you deal with every single day. And you have a relationship with them, it's very difficult. That's why they always say in business and in business in general, don't get too close to somebody because you're going to have to make tough decisions that can eventually fracture a relationship.
What did they give up? Why can't you just walk away from James Harden? You give up a guy who hasn't played since being traded. You gave up role players and Seth Curry and Andre Drummond and a couple picks. What did you really give up to get James Harden?
Let's go backwards now. Evan, you said, what did they give up? They gave up a couple picks to start.
Sure.
Okay? So that's something.
Guys
that
trade
ain't nothing.
Picks in the NBA,
but they're not going to be high picks because the Sixers
make the
playoffs.
But it doesn't matter. It's
basically
still
picks. Second rounders.
You still gave up. You gave up assets. On top of giving up assets, you don't know what you gave up in terms of Ben Simmons, even though he's been hurt and now he's having surgery on his back. We don't know what we gave up there. And yes, you said Drummond and Curry, wow, whoop-de-doo. You still gave up something. You gave up all that for what? A month and a half of basketball for somebody?
Yeah. Okay. I'm walking away. I'm not just because I made a bad investment, I'm not sinking more money into a bad investment. It's like a house, man. If I get a money pit, I'm not going to keep sinking money into the money pit.
Hold on, guys. We'll continue this conversation. Evan, I'm sorry I have to produce the show now. We'll continue this conversation coming up. I'm going to put myself in James Harden's head. I think I know what he's thinking. Go ahead, Jay.
Hot news story. Talking about one of the best business minds in sports. Regardless of how you feel about how he runs things in Dallas, you can't deny the dude is a baller. That 3 Super Bowl run was legendary, and he turned his parents' small grocery store into an empire worth billions. That's incredible. So when he put millions into a new market valued at $1.7 trillion with a T, it's worth paying attention to. Here's the best part. Now ordinary people like you and me can enter that same market without needing to own a franchise. Check it out. It's called Masterworks. What they're doing is revolutionary, which is why they've already gotten 400,000 members on their platform and certified unicorn status. Our listeners get priority access to skip their wait lists. Just go to masterworks.io and use promo code KJM. See important Regulation A disclosures at masterworks.io/CD. That's masterworks.io, promo code KJM. Masterworks.io, promo code KJM. There's no guarantee of profits, and investing includes risk of loss.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Seth Greenberg with us now, giving you the Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. Hey. This is Keyshawn, J. Willimax, presented by Progressive Insurance, coming to you live from above the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17. Good morning, Coach.
Max, what's going on?
Notorious D-E-R-G, my guy, looking lean and mean out here.
Just kind of pump faking my way through life.
You're in better shape than James Harden.
I am in better shape than James Harden.
Looks it anyway.
I'm probably more competitive. I would have gotten up more than one shot and a half.
I'll tell you what. So this is what I think James Harden's thinking, Coach. I want to bounce it off you. I think Harden's going to opt in, right? He's going to take the $47 million because there's not going to be a thriving market for him right now. And let's just table the relationship with Daryl Morey and with ownership that he has, so he may believe he's got $200 million coming in a supermax extension. Let's just – because it'll be a good test of how rational Daryl Morey really is. And, okay, so let's just put that aside for a second. I think what James Harden's thinking is, I'll opt in, and then I'll get in shape. I'll be fine. I'll stop going out. So I'll get in better. But like a lot of people, you know, I'll start the diet tomorrow or whatever, you know, or whatever it is in your life you're going to do. That my dad has an expression, procrastinate later, right? Like if you're going to put something off, put up. I think he's fooling himself if that's what he's thinking, Coach. And I have a sense that's what he's thinking.
I don't know what he's thinking. I just know that it was an embarrassment yesterday. Like, James Harden's a good player. He's not that guy. And that's just the way it is. He's not that guy, and he's not that guy in the playoffs, and he hasn't been that guy in the playoffs. I think he's a good player, but there's a difference between being a good player and a winning player in a game that means something, in a series that means something. And, look, nothing against James Harden. I'm sure he's a great dude. I'm just looking at it just as it is. That was an embarrassment yesterday. And the Sixers, the construction of the Sixers, and you can talk about their roster. I do not like their roster. No one talks, Jay Will.
So I agree with you. I said before yesterday, 2 days ago, that I thought they were leaderless. And yeah. I think it's really hard for a big, even though he's as great as Joel Embiid, to be the leader, because the leader has to have the ball in his hands yeah. predominantly most of the game. And that's James Harden to me. So that's one thing. But do you think they gave up too much for James Harden?
Well, they got James Harden on a deal, basically. So, look, Ben Simmons, you couldn't count on Ben Simmons. That's just the way it is. I mean, I think the biggest thing is, and this is before Daryl Morey, but you know, you can't lose Jimmy Butler to the world. You just can't lose Jimmy Butler, because you can't lose a guy that's fiercely competitive on every single play and expect to win. Like, you put Jimmy Butler and Joel Embiid, you got two guys that are fiercely competitive and can compete, and they hold a standard to everyone else in the locker room. Like, who coaches the locker room for the Sixers? Like, who coaches the locker room? You know, you're only as good as your locker room. Like, who coaches the locker room? I don't know if they gave up too much. I look at the makeup of this team. The one person that plays besides Joel Embiid, who's competitive, and he was banged up, his wrist is, you know, obviously all the injuries, is Tyrese Maxey. Name me another person that really plays with an energy and a joy. I mean, it was embarrassing. You're playing an elimination game. Like, I know how competitive you are. If you're playing an elimination game, kid, you're playing an elimination game, you're going down swinging.
Fighting.
All right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
There was no fight, and everyone wants to put it on Doc. You can only play the hand you're dealt.
Yeah.
And that hand that he was dealt is not a winning, competitive, hard-playing hand. You have a guy that's 32 years old with a 38-year-old body that is not a tough, competitive, winning player. You've got a young, talented guard in Tyrese Maxey. You have no bench. You've got a beat-up Embiid. Tobias Harris is a nice piece, but he's not a guy that you can count on in terms of, you know, being that guy. He's a nice piece playing off guys. That's not a very good roster. It really isn't. I mean, like, Doc can't – there's only so much you can do. And I heard his post-game interview. And, like, I know people want to take shots at him. It's an easy take shots at him. Like, do you think he'll be here? Well, if he's not going to be in Philly, he's going to be somewhere next year coaching.
Mm-hmm.
Because he knows what he's doing. And but that roster – and I don't know Daryl Morey, and he might be the greatest GM in the world. I don't see it. I think he does a great job with the media. He lets everyone know how hard he's working. He does all those things. I mean, I don't see it. And I can't imagine them signing hard into a long-term deal.
You know what, Coach? Yeah, you talk about, and the guys up there sitting with you right now looking at the deal and saying sort of the same thing. But I'm looking at it from a different perspective. I'm looking at it from a Joel Embiid perspective, right? Time is a running out on a guy. You mentioned the many things. You mentioned Doc Rivers and the roster they constructed, which isn't good for what Doc wants to do. You mentioned Harden being old. But I look at it in today's NBA, as you follow it, Jay follows it, Max follows, these guys get together, and we saw with Jimmy Butler how much praise he had for Joel Embiid, how much he talked about him. When will Joel Embiid be – when is the time going to run out and that frustration going to kick in where he finally says, like a lot of players in the NBA with contracts make decisions that they don't want to be there any longer – when is that going to happen, you think, Coach, if at all?
That's interesting. The process. He is the process. He's the lone holdover of the process. That whole concept of the process is almost comical now. I don't know. That's a question. I don't know Joel Embiid in terms of his DNA. Would he, you know, ask for a trade? I think he's bought into Philadelphia. I think he's bought into Philadelphia, but eventually he wants to win at the highest level, and he wants to win a championship.
Hey, yeah, absolutely. But if you're watching
Davis for Embiid?
Think about it. If you're watching all your peers, Coach, around you win championships and do certain things, at some point as a player, if they're not doing right by you as an organization, they're wasting your years. I don't care how long your contract is. At some point you're going to say, man, I can't deal with this. I got to get out of here.
Hold on. Do you mean – Would the Lakers trade AD for Embiid, or would the Sixers do that?
Either way.
The Lakers, you have to think, would send you Anthony Davis and
whoever else.
Yeah, like for Embiid? For Joel Embiid? Yeah, in a heartbeat.
I don't think the Sixers wouldn't do that, though. So
yeah, he is the one core piece of the Sixers, right?
Yeah.
So this is why I think. And I want to get your reaction to this, Seth. If they do fire Doc Rivers – and they do bring in Mike D'Antoni, and they do sign James Harden. If you're able to, the only way in hell I see that working is if by God's dissension, you're able to find a way to move Tobias Harris. You're probably going to have to give Tobias Harris and some draft picks away to get him off your books. And then you're probably going to have to look at either Matisse Thybulle or maybe even Tyrese Maxey going somewhere else in order to get Bradley Beal. Bradley Beal would be the one guy paired with James Harden and Joel Embiid that I would say if you get the right pieces around them, you can win with that team. Because James Harden cannot be your second best player on a world championship team. He was already the third best player on a team that was bound to get there with Kyrie and KD. So if you had James Harden, Bradley Beal, and Joel Embiid,
Wait, you're giving up Maxey?
I'm throwing it out there. I mean, you're going to have to throw
it out there. I'm giving up Harden. Like, I want to move on from Harden, not Maxey.
Yeah, but you just gave Harden an extension. You can't
move
on
from giving him an extension. I don't think they should do that. If you're doing that,
I don't think you can afford Beal if you give Harden
an
extension, right?
Did you just hear what I said? You have to move Tobias Harris, get him off your books, and also get some other things off your books. You have to move pieces.
They need competitive players. I mean, like, I maybe I'm just too simplistic, and it's the prism I look at the game through in terms of college basketball. They need committed, competitive, tough players. I mean, the maturity, toughness, competitive players win in the NBA. Look at James Harden
and Ben Simmons.
Yeah.
Like Jimmy Butler.
Yeah. Like, look at the identity of the teams that are still playing that you believe in and think are good. They're fiercely competitive. All right. They have a toughness and a maturity about them.
Yep.
All right. They play without ego, and there's no drama. There's no drama in Milwaukee. There's no drama in Miami. And they had that little thing, but there's no drama in Miami. They've got an identity and a culture that everyone buys into.
Yeah, they sure do.
So could it be too much change then, Coach? Keep changing? Could it be that's why you can't build a culture? I mean, you mentioned Miami. Spoelstra's been on that sideline, and Pat Riley's been in that building since I was born. You know, it's just like it's been forever. You know,
Well, it starts at the top, Key. You know that. Yeah, I mean, Key, think about all the great organizations you played for, all right?
Yeah.
Let me tell you something. When you had a great leader at the very top, everyone else got in line, right?
Yes.
If you have an if at the top or a guy you think you can kind of manipulate or take advantage of, what's going to happen?
They're going to run through him.
Yeah.
They're going to get taken advantage of. That's the truth. They're just going to take advantage of.
Yeah.
So that would suggest on the Sixers you're looking at also Doc Rivers. I know you don't want to blame Doc, but also Doc Rivers. He's the coach.
Who's at the very top of the organization?
The owner's at the top, and he has a relationship with James Harden. I get it.
I just think that, like, when you have leadership at the top and there's no nonsense at the top, and then you have pieces. Like, the pieces that the Sixers have, I don't like their roster.
Coach?
They don't have a DNA.
Seth, this is where it gets really murky real quick, and there's multiple owners of the 76ers, but Michael Rubin and James Harden, their relationship is what makes it really fascinating because they are the best of friends. Literally, James Harden, Michael Rubin, Meek Mill, they hang out all the time. They're seen everywhere together, and this is where it becomes murky.
All right, Coach, do you have somewhere to go right now? Can we finagle you
here with us?
Yeah, all right, sure. We corral Coach to staying with us.
Pump fake Murray through life.
By the way, the Heat are on to the Eastern Conference Finals, Coach, but the other top seed has been pushed to a Game 7. By a great player.
Oh!
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80. The NBA playoffs are on ESPN Radio. Playoffs, that is, in English. Tune in tonight as the Bucks host the Celtics, presented by Indeed. Coverage begins at 7 p.m. Eastern on most ESPN radio stations. Seth Greenberg, good enough to stay with us. Suns are in a Game 7. I was not surprised Luka came up big. Mavs, have played well at home. What do you think of where they are now? Can Luka take that on the road?
Seth, when you see Luka dunk on somebody, though, you know that it's a next level game. I mean, I love Luka more than anything. Luka don't be jumping like that. This game psychologically is on a different level between him and Devin Booker.
He's a great Game 7 player. Think about his success in European basketball. He's incredible in closeout games, but he's part LeBron, he's part Larry Bird. He talks smack the whole game. But I think when he trusts his player, his teammates, I mean, think about yesterday. I thought a big point in the game yesterday, as great as Luka was, when he went out for that little bit, Bullock knocked down those two jumpers, and then Dinwiddie knocked down those two jumpers. All of a sudden, those guys were empowered. And then Brunson was aggressive, making Chris Paul defend him. Luka is just a different dude now. I mean, like, he's a different dude. And the defense that the Mavericks are playing, Jason Kidd has not gotten enough credit for what he's done defensively with the Mavs. They are really guarding. It's going to be a fascinating Game 7.
I love Jalen Brunson. Power to you, JB. Get your money that you're going to get. I love Spencer Dinwiddie. I've known him since he was with the Nets. I know Tim Hardaway Jr. is hurt. But, like, every time I watch Luka Seth play this way, I'm like, Lord, can you just give him some other player that step up, Key, and be at that same level so we can talk about this team winning a championship. Now, they're still in the hunt to win a championship. They have a legit shot. But, Key, ultimately, I'm going to say I think if Golden State wins against Memphis tonight, even if the Mavs do win, I think Golden State will be favored in that game. And I still think we will be talking about, when it's all said and done, who is that one missing piece that Luka can rely upon game in, game out, that can help this team get over the hump?
So you think if they had one more piece, then the Golden State matchup would be different?
Like an alpha piece, though, Key. Like an alpha piece. Like, it's a random name. I'm not saying it worked, but like, if Bradley Beal were with Luka Doncic, what would that
look
like?
He can only be on one team. He can't be on the Sixers and the Mavs.
I know.
At the
that's
same
why
time.
I said it's just a random name.
You want Bradley Beal on every team.
If Zach LaVine were with Luka Doncic, what would that look like?
Before the show is over, Bradley Beal would be on nine.
He'll be on everybody's team.
I'd want him on my team, too.
By the way, when we showed that graphic, we actually cooked the books against Luka there. We said age 23 or younger. Luka's age 22. Put him on the age. How many – like, Luka has done things at an earlier age. The only real players that compare to him at his age are LeBron, Magic. I mean
– Kobe.
By the time he was 22 – yeah, I guess by the time – I have to go back and look if he's 22, 23, or 24.
The dude
has
never rushed.
Most 30-point playoff games, age 23. He ain't 23. Do it age 22. Nope. He ain't going to be 23 till October.
Coach, man, I'm starting to worry a little bit about my man Chris Paul and his ability to finally get one. Now we deadlocked at three. We going back to Phoenix, no question about it. But how concerned are you now that Chris, this may be, it's just, this is it?
I have a concern. I'll tell you, last three games, Chris Paul, it's pretty interesting. 8 points, 47% for field, 7 assists, 3.7 turnovers. They're keeping him on his left hand a little bit more, and they're making him guard. Now, look, he could get 40, you know, back home. But, look, they've played a lot of games in a short period of time. He's 37 years old. You know, he obviously knows his body, and he's a savant. But if you make him guard on both sides of the floor and you can keep him to his left hand as much as possible, and then the job that they did, the Mavs, the job they did with Booker, trapping him some on his ball screens. Like, I'm just telling you, Jason Kidd has done a great job defensively with his team. But Chris Paul, I mean, eventually you can't play that many minutes, that many games at his age.
He's 2 feet tall. He's 100 years old.
This is what happens when you start getting to this time of the season.
Yeah.
Regardless of how prolific of an offensive player you are or facilitator, you get targeted defensively. Yeah. Like Draymond Green talked about this with Ja Morant being on the floor for Memphis. They would target him. They would get him involved in pick and roll actions. And if you switch, I got the matchup I want. So that's what they were doing with CP3 last night. That's why you saw Luka body his little tail up, because CP3 is what, 6'1"? See, Luka's 6'7", 6'8".
240.
And if you try to double team him off any pick and roll – if they're knocking down threes with, you know, Max Kleber and company, that's a problem.
And 22 turnovers. I mean, the Suns were so out of character. I mean, they turned it over 22 times. They didn't compete like they needed to compete on the defensive end. Chris Paul wasn't good. Booker wasn't good. You're not going to win. You're going back to Phoenix. Will you be different? Obviously, I mean, you'll be different.
Who you betting on that game? The best one game series now.
You know, like, who's the best player in the series?
Luka.
Who's the guy that can take over a game?
Luka.
But, what has but he Book done can too. Book can too.
Yeah, yeah, Book can different too. But you know, like to me, I'm leaning towards the Mavs right now.
Even though like at home, this has been such a home road series, right?
It has been. It has been. I do like the adjustments that they've made on Chris, and I like the adjustment they made on Devin Booker last game, committing a second defender to him, taking away a little of that space where he can create separation. Those two adjustments have been really, really good from Jason Kidd. I think he's done a masterful job. And then Luka, think about the wins versus the losses. The games that Luka has gotten other guys involved, Mavs wins.
That's why when you say LeBron and Bird, what I see is something like LeBron or Bird plus a Harden. Like a guy who sometimes when he's not as good as he can be, it's too much high usage for Luka.
But remember, and when back he's in good, the day, you know, we always used to say the same thing about LeBron. When LeBron trusted his teammates.
Yeah.
But I just think I think the guy is fascinating. No one rushes him. Like, Jay Will, you were the best of the best. You had the ability, no matter how much people pressured you, you were going to play at your speed, then have your burst when you wanted. Mm-hmm. You were going to back people off. You didn't attack them a second time. Like Luka, he plays – I don't care what you're doing to him. You're not speeding him up. You're not slowing him down. You're not trapping him. He's looking over to you. He's going to get to the ball to his spot.
Oh, Seth.
He's like a clinic.
This is not a nugget. This is a next level. What do we call that back in our college basketball days?
Full-grown nugget.
Full-grown or a morsel.
Yeah,
right?
No, a morsel is a small – the full-grown
okay.
nugget. Right.
Full-grown nugget. Okay. This dude is averaging 39 points in elimination games. Luka Doncic.
It's crazy.
39 points in elimination games.
It's crazy.
Minimum three games.
Like, that's full-grown.
Insane. And this will be – I made this comment on our show multiple times. I made this comment multiple times that during this series, Devin Booker needs to be the best player on their team. CP3, probably the best closer, leader, right, facilitator. But you need Devin Booker. Devin Booker's never been in a game seven in the playoffs. So now we get a chance to see at home what player Devin Booker is, especially with him barking back and forth between Luka Doncic.
Is he winning those games? LeBron and Bird are two guys who – made teams way better than they ought to have been. Wherever they were, they're like Bird
Luka
got there from 20
when he was
18. To 60-something.
Like Luka won championships overseas when he was 18 years old. He was that guy.
Right, right.
Coach, is Luka the least player you want to see in a game seven?
Is he the what?
Last player.
The last guy you'd want to see in a game seven.
You want to see in a game seven.
Or the last. There's a guy named Giannis that I probably would have wanted to see in a game seven. Giannis in a game seven, especially if he doesn't shoot jumpers. I mean, if Giannis doesn't
shoot. Would you rather see Luka or Steph Curry in a game seven? Ooh. That's it. Lord, this question right here.
That's a layup.
That's
not for Steph when it counts. Not for Steph when it counts, but a layup.
There are certain guys in the game that define the game. I think Luka right now is in position to become a guy that no one will want to see because he can literally will his team with his size, his strength, his skill, his shot making, his floor game, and more importantly, like that dude is tough.
Yeah, I'm taking Phoenix to win this one at home.
I
think home court, game seven, CP3, even though he's been bad the last three games.
That game is when? Sunday?
That game
is 2 days?
Sunday.
Man, I want CP3 to win that game.
Which annoys me, by the way, with the schedule. It should be like, let's do what hockey's doing every other day.
That's a huge advantage for Phoenix.
Huge. 2 days?
2 days.
It should be every other day. I don't know why it waits until Sunday.
With, you know, to freeze your whole body.
I don't know, man. 2 days old. 2 days older for Chris Paul. I've seen since he turned age 37. It's been all downhill.
Evan's getting close to pulling a Max Kellerman. He's falling off the cliff at age 37.
Listen, Chris Paul needs to win this game. Like, whether or not he has a big game, I need the Suns to win. I have to see Chris Paul advance.
If they don't,
Keyshawn, Jay Willimax, thank you, Coach.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate
it. Is presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive Commercial Insurance protects small businesses with affordable coverage options. Quote today at ProgressiveCommercial.com. Huge potential week one matchup between two young quarterbacks next on ESPN Radio.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We all go through things socially where we don't feel like ourselves, where we don't feel like going out, where we feel drained, or we're not bursting with energy. And when you're not feeling right, that's where BetterHelp can come in. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills, how to set boundaries in so many different ways, for which it empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who experience major trauma. Therapy is for more than those people, and it's there to help you. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. It's there for you. It's there to help you. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRICEbikes.com.
Kimberly A. What? Martin with us on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max this morning. Hey, Kimberly.
What's going on, guys? Y'all always have...
You see me, Jay?
Okay. Okay. Max, I'm still waiting for the. I'm still waiting for Max to get it.
But why y'all playing
right.
that, though? Max?
Keep waiting a long time. I'm fine, Jay.
You're cool. Max, I'm on the grown-ass man status.
I'm good. Yeah. We're trying to work here, guys. Guys.
Jay sees it sometimes. Jay. When the spirit moves me sometimes.
Get it,
yeah.
Key. Show him, Key. He got the,
Do not pop it and break it. Don't.
He about to tear a back muscle.
What is happening?
It's a good thing it's a weekend coming up.
Put some icy hot on that.
Oh, don't worry about it. Get some tequila in me, y'all be okay.
Yeah. Been walking the next day with a sore knee. I seen that.
Max is like, can we get some order in here? Can we please?
It is true, as the host of the show, I have one eye on the clock. What do we have to do?
Sorry, Max.
Fun, please. All right. I don't want to get scolded by Evan in the commercial break. Hold on, let me just get to the rundown.
Keith,
it's been meticulously put
play,
together.
No, I'm leaving Evan alone today. Alone. Okay. He's already taking. You know, I'm good. I'm Mr. Evan Wellner. I'm
his government name all out there. Damn. Okay.
The full government name.
Kimberly.
Yes,
Kimberly.
Max.
The schedule is out.
Oh, praise the Lord.
And one of the most intriguing matchups are two guys from the same draft class, Justin Fields
Ooh.
and Trey Lance.
Yeah, talk about it.
What's fascinating to me is out of the draft, it's like Trey Lance is the biggest project. He's going to take the longest to the – and Justin Fields was the guy who seemed to me, at least before all the evaluations started, mm-hmm. to be more ready. But then all the rumors came out. He goes through his progressions too slow. So it was Fields who fell and Lance who got picked way up high.
Mm-hmm.
Now we've seen Justin Fields, but in a bad situation. We've barely seen Trey Lance. What do you think of the matchup?
So I will say I was one of the few people who thought Justin Fields should sit to start the season because he was maybe didn't need as much seasoning as Trey Lance, but he still needed some time. That's what I thought heading into last season. But this matchup, if everything goes as expected, I expect to see Trey Lance on the field week one for the 49ers. There's a reason, despite everybody thinking they were going to take Mac Jones, there's a reason the 49ers moved up to take Trey Lance because they saw his ceiling, what he's capable of. And I think this is the year that we're going to see Trey Lance. Now, it is not an easy start for the 49ers. For a young quarterback starting for the first time, this is a very tough slate for him to start the season. But Justin Fields, Trey Lance, two dynamic quarterbacks, obviously athletic, obviously can make plays, but they still need they're still a work in progress. And I don't think the Bears have done enough to equip Justin Fields with a loaded roster. Unlike Trey Lance, 49ers. They've got a good squad. So I think it's set up nicely for Trey Lance long term, but it'll be a tough sled.
Kimberly, who has a higher ceiling?
I would say Trey Lance. I would say Trey Lance. Based on all the pre-draft evals, like talking to personnel guys heading into the draft, it seemed like everybody wondered how much time Trey Lance would need, but there was no doubt about his ceiling and what he could do. Mm. Justin Fields, you know, that was one of those – he can be good. It's got to be the right situation. He needs some time. I didn't think Chicago was the best situation for him just because you had the GM and the head coach on the hot seat heading into the season. Is this going to be another changeover? And now we see another head coach, mm-hmm. another GM. What's their plan? So people have to be patient with him, too, because it's not the most ideal situation for him.
Yeah, it you're right, Kimberly. Trey Lance probably does have the higher ceiling, not to say that Justin Fields' ceiling is so low.
Right, exactly. I mean,
it may not be as high. Trey Lance has a little bit of that Patrick Mahomes stuff in him where if they get the most out of him, you're going to see a duplicate of Patrick Mahomes, where Justin Fields' style is just a little bit different. He has more of a I don't want to say Lamar Jackson, because I think he is probably a better passer of the football right now than Lamar mm-hmm. Jackson was at this time in his career, but kind of on that trajectory, so to speak. But I want to ask you, I want to talk to you a little bit about not only these quarterbacks, Kim, but the schedule came out last night, and I know you was excited, girl, because you got a chance to take a look at it and see where you got to dress up and put on those fancy clothes when you go report on those sidelines. Now, how excited were you? Don't look at me like that, auntie. How excited were you, though, when that schedule came out?
Well, everybody knows that. I might have heels on in the studio, but everybody knows game day Jays. Hey. That's what I do. Comfort over cuteness. I'm excited because finally we've been talking about teams on paper. We're going to be talking about teams on paper till week one hits, but it's nice to see, you know, we can guess. Well, how's this team? Look at that schedule. Ooh, boy, the Chiefs, they got a tough road. It's exciting because the NFL never sleeps, but we are so close, only what, like 100 days? Like it felt like Christmas in a weird way for an NFL reporter.
When you look at Tampa Bay, mm-hmm. considering how tough their schedule is, their mm-hmm. first four games, at Dallas, at New Orleans, Green Bay, Kansas City, at home.
Yep.
What do you think we'll be talking about by the time we're going into week five?
We'll be talking about thank goodness they have Tom Brady because they could be – some people say they could be 0-4.
Oh!
I didn't say it. But there's a good chance that they could be 1-3. What we do know about the Saints is that they know how to beat the Bucs in the regular season. They know how to beat Tom Brady. And so when you look at Dallas is the one where I think they're going to beat Dallas because offensively without Amari Cooper, Michael Gallup coming back from the ACL, don't know what Dallas is going to look like. But when you got the Saints and you got – to me, the QB matchup I want to see the most is Rodgers versus Brady because this could be the end. So I just think this is a tough slate for the Bucks starting out.
Mm-hmm. Pressure on Aaron Rodgers. Don't let Brady get by you into the Super Bowl again, but not in the regular season. Not yet. Thank you, Kimberly Martin. You, as always, a brutal schedule.
Always good to see you, ain't he?
For a team that must get off to a good start. That's next on ESPN Radio and Sirius XM Channel 8.
I know. I'm significantly younger than him.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.